So one might ask what I'm doing here. Several years ago, about 4.5, nearly 5 now, I moved to the Geisinger Center for Health Research, which is located in Danville, Pennsylvania. It's rural there. I was comfortable with that, but there wasn't a whole lot of support for doing psychiatric or behavioral health research. At about the time that I arrived, I wrote a legislative briefing through our Rural Health Policy Institute suggesting that there was a significant need for community-level research, community-level data, so that communities could make decisions about what were going on in their communities. This coming from someone who was accustomed to dealing with data sets that had 40 or 50,000 cases in them, and I was thinking about now communities with 6,700 residents. And so when I wrote that briefing, people took me up on my offer and came knocking at my door, offering opportunities for me to conduct community needs assessments, something for which I had no training. It's been an exciting adventure. I have learned the value of low budget research, so no longer is there $50 million available at my fingertips to collect data. It's now $20,000 to $100,000 to do research, and people actually expect me to know what to do with it once we're finished. So I'm learning very quickly the value of interventional research. I want to just say that there are no disclosures to report. The Geisinger Foundation actually funded this particular community's needs assessment. And meanwhile, they may not necessarily agree with everything that I have to say today. So we'll say that it's Sharon's rule. So I want to set the stage for rural vulnerabilities first and just say, I'm singing to the choir, I'm sure. We know that there are higher rates of poverty in rural places, that there's a higher proportion of elderly, and this particular community or county, actually, with 6,700 people in the entire county, fits the bill. It is very poor. It is a county that had a timber and lumber industry that went south or somewhere else and is no longer viable in the county. It has lots of state property, and so there are forests and beautiful places, but not a lot of jobs. So this community actually came to me and said, we want you to come help us. We'd like for you to help tell us how to get doctors in our county, and we also want to talk to you about our suicide problem, because you're a psychiatric epidemiologist, so you should be able to help us fix that. And no mention of natural gas drilling or the potential impacts that natural gas drilling might have on the community. Environmental issues do often emerge in communities with vulnerable populations, again, singing to the choir. This community is one with little social capital other than people have lived there for a very long time, and so they know one another. They have no functioning health system in the county at all, and we'll talk a little bit more about their emergency preparedness. There is a hallmark of environmental issues is that often the residents of communities like this do not have the capacity or resources to fight whatever it is that is coming to their town. And so I think that what I want to say up front is that this is an emerging story. I'm not going to talk to you about Hurricane Katrina or about nor'easters or anything like that. This is about an emerging issue in the community, and I'm using Randy Stecker's community change process to develop a community prescription for how to move forward as we address the things that are going on in Sullivan County. So why Sullivan County? It had a high suicide rate. There were 7 suicides in a one-year period. Remember that this is a community with 6,700 people, so we're talking about one suicide for every 1,100 people in the community, and that is many times more than we would expect, even in rural places. It is historically a lumber industry, and now there is no notable industry in the county. Jobs are limited, shopping is limited. Their largest grocery store has 4 lanes, 4 aisles, not lanes, 4 aisles. in which local residents can shop. It has beautiful, beautiful natural resources. The end of the world is there. They actually have World's End State Park. It is a vacation spot and a part-time home for affluent part-time residents who may or may not bring resources to the table for solving the issues of the community. And the community asked me, can you conduct the needs assessment that would help bring services to our community? There is no healthcare provider full-time practicing in this community. We thought that's what we were there to address. So we designed, and remember, I'm a quantitative methodologist, so I like big data sets, and 6,700 people just doesn't offer much of an opportunity for a representative data set. So we began by talking with the Sullivan County Health Partnership, which was actually a group of very engaged community residents who had come together from various organizations and agencies to solve the problems of Sullivan County. So they did actually have a bit of social capital there in that they have some probably a group of 30 to 35 people who are highly, highly engaged in solving the problems of Sullivan County. My dilemma was to do academic research or to actually become a practitioner, and I have moved a bit away from the academic focus. So we held focus conversations with the advisory group. We then held focus groups with community members. We conducted what I refer to as an insight interview, which is a semi-structured interview with individual members of the community to make sure that we were really fine-tuning what we thought we were learning about the community. And then finally, we did conduct a population-level survey, I couldn't get away from it, to characterize the needs and attitudes of the community members. And we actually had a 40% response rate on a paper and pencil survey mailed out one time to residents of the community. So I am a survey researcher. We are using a community prescriptive approach with periodic consultation with this county health partnership in order to help guide them through the process. So we tried not to use the helicopter approach of dropping in, gathering data, and leaving. What we learned is that Marcellus Shale is the key concern. So it wasn't that we have to drive 65 miles to the local health care provider. It was not that we can't shop in town, it was Marcellus Shale. What is Marcellus Shale? This is a shale that has obviously been present in the region for a very, very long time. It's found under New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, West Virginia, Maryland, Virginia, Kentucky, and Tennessee, and offers opportunity for extracting natural gas if you can get to it. What do you have to do to get to that natural gas? Well, it's apparently buried so deep under the shale that the traditional methods have not been effective in extracting this data, this natural gas. And so they use a process called fracking. Fracking has been questioned by many because it uses large quantities of water, 500,000 gallons to 1 million gallons of water are forced into the shale to fracture it, and there are some chemicals involved, and apparently the makeup of that chemical is proprietary, and therefore the gas drilling companies are not required to provide the exact makeup of that chemical mixture that is being pumped into the ground. In Pennsylvania, we have very limited legislative capacity to address drilling issues. And so there are no laws that prevent anyone from going in and doing this drilling on private land. They are using some state land to do this drilling as well. And the county will not derive much tax benefit from the drilling practices that are going on. And so there's a promise of jobs for the next 50 years. Evidence actually suggests that the jobs are 3 to 10 years and little economic input into the community. There is some question about the potential health risks of this process of fracking. Some adverse health effects have been associated but not clearly identified from an epidemiologic standpoint with frack water. But there's some concerns about cancer, GI problems, skin irritation, neurological symptoms, and a host of other issues. One group in Pennsylvania has already filed a lawsuit because of some neurological and gastrointestinal problems. That doesn't suggest that we know that the frack water is causing this, but it is a concern for the communities. In Pennsylvania, one well site has been cited for spilling 8,000 gallons of drilling fluids. One of the problems is, what do you do with this water? Resulting in a large fish kill and also high levels of total dissolved solids in the Monongahela River in western Pennsylvania has been attributed to Marcellus Shale development. So it is an emerging potential environmental health problem. Right now, Pennsylvania, in the last couple of weeks, put a hold on issuing any more drilling permits, pending some further conversation, but our new governor says that he will remove that hold on issuing drilling permits and allow drilling to go on. So we held these focus groups with community members in Sullivan County, and we tried to get a representative group of people who sort of knew what was going on. One of the most striking members of the focus groups was a gentleman who came in with his oxygen tank strapped to his back, and he had his deputy sheriff's uniform on, and he is a member of the EMS squad. And this is why I'm here today, because he was the first to bring to our attention that primary health care may not be the only issue in the community. He said one of the characteristics is that this is a very old group. The youngest EMS member is 60 years old, and it goes up to about 80. And the community recognizes that this is an issue. So what we're going to do, because I'm running out of time and I've spent so much time telling you the emerging story, and I hope to come back and tell you the end of the story perhaps next year or the year after, I'm going to just say that this is a community that is dealing with all of the issues of wanting to bring industry into their community. They are sort of betwixt and between. They cannot meet their current needs. They don't have health services. It is a 55-mile drive. And yet there is this sort of dichotomy of thinking that goes on that I think is the hallmark of what happens in an environmental justice issue. And that is, we want jobs, we want industry, and how much are we willing to give up in order to make those things happen in our community? And this mixed with the fact that they don't have emergency services and they have a risky environmental issue potentially coming to the surface where they will need good sound emergency services. So these numbers just demonstrate that if you've lived there not very long, like you haven't lived there your whole life, you're likely to say that we just want to bring jobs to the community and we'll worry about the environmental health risks later. So what does all of this have to do? They have limited access to services and unacceptable limited access to emergency services, differences in community member perspectives based on their tenure as well as their age and other demographic characteristics, and the promise of economic development is hard for them to turn away from as they think about all of this. So what is the community prescription? We want to teach these folks how to be activistic on their own behalf. We're helping them learn how to search out health policy and other state policies that are impacting them because they didn't have that toolkit in place. We are helping with health promotion and information events, but most importantly, you can see that I've highlighted, we'd like for them to develop a social marketing strategy for new employers that come to the region to support the development of emergency responder training for members of those employer organizations. And we think that if each employer, each drilling company, would step up and train two or three, or cover the cost of training, two or three EMS providers, then we would have addressed at least that very first problem, and we'd be able to check that off the list, and it's not a hard-to-do kind of thing. So we're going to continue working with this community. We are not going to helicopter. We've dropped in, we're going to stay, and we're going to work with them until we address as many of the issues as we can. Thank you.
Okay, we have one question for Dr. Larson.
Yes.
I'm actually working on this issue from the University of Pittsburgh. option of having some kind of online social marketing kind of, we developed a tool to do that, but I was just curious what, in this area, I'm from a rural area as well, so I know that the internet access is very limited. Where do you see them, people being able to access internet in that community?
We don't think that the social marketing will necessarily occur through an e-technology. We think that it you have to go to the people, and there are, as you know, coming from a rural place, there are meeting places where people go, and there is a school system where all of the parents are going to show up at least once a year because they're required to come for a parent-teacher conference. So we hope that by reaching out to employers in the region directly and then reaching out to the residents of the community directly through whatever those meeting places are, that we'll be able to make some kind of an impact.
Thank you, Dr. Larson.
Thank you.